Blog Talk Radio.
The Consummate Fitness Professional, Part 5. Well, here we are. We're going to wrap it up at this point. But I think it's important as we wrap it up, I'm going to review a couple of things we've discussed over these past few episodes. Things that are pertinent to you as you continue to do your personal training business, strive to be the best. You have to recognize a few do's and don'ts. I've repeated myself a few times on this specific point, but I think it's important that I stress this scope of practice. What are you practicing as a personal trainer? What have you been certified? What do you have credibility in? I want to kind of backtrack just a little bit when it comes to scope of practice, because I have to stress a specific point. And this point is, if you were to go to a surgeon, and you were to get a specific procedure done, do you think you would feel reassured if the surgeon were to say to you, look, I saw this on television once, and I'm going to try it out on you? It would be absurd. Probably start freaking out and run as quickly as possible. I know that's not quite as severe as you as a personal trainer were to say, I saw this on television, or I saw another trainer doing this. But it can be as severe as far as injuries and potential risks if you were to try something that you saw somebody else do or you were not actually an expert in. So get the credibility, education, and education so that when you actually apply something in a session, you are staying within your scope of practice. Also, speaking along those lines, if you have PT insurance, the liability insurance, you're covering yourself. Covering yourself in the fact that you are staying within your scope of practice. So, for instance, I as a personal trainer have seen many fitness trends come and go since 2006. Right about the late 2007, 2008, I saw the explosion of these group fitness training programs that were called boot camps. That trend has kind of gone downward. We haven't seen as many boot camps lately. We've seen a lot more CrossFit gyms and boxes that have become the new fitness trend. Kudos to them. But what I noticed in these boot camps were these long, thick ropes. They called them battle ropes. And these battle ropes would be so long and heavy, a person would grab them in either hand and they would shake them up and down to the side, all over the place. It looked like fun. I won't lie to you. And I tried it a few times and boy, it's tough. But here's the thing. I was certified in a specific skill set, in a specific knowledge set. I didn't know anything about battle ropes. Yes, I could sit down with one of the trainers that was pretty proficient in telling you how that worked. But ultimately, let's say if I were to put a client on battle ropes, explain it to them? Possibly. Could I bullshit my way through it? Oh, absolutely. Would I do that? Absolutely not. And I would advise that you wouldn't do the same. If you're not familiar with an exercise and you're not educated and it is not under your knowledge set or your scope of practice, stay away from it. It has everything to do with liability, safety, and from an ethical standpoint. Does that make sense? To put somebody onto something you have no idea what they're doing? Ethics is something that you really have to pay close attention to. The definition of that is moral principles that govern a person or group's behavior. Moral code, if you will. So stay within that scope of practice. I've said it so many times, but I'm saying it for emphasis. Next thing in your do's and don'ts, stick to a schedule. I said it before. Before I said, stick to a schedule to honor yourself, but also stick to a schedule to honor all of your clients. If you have somebody booked at 6 to 6:30, then by gosh, it better stay between that 6 to 6:30 time slot. Even if you have a 6:30 to 7 completely open, you still have to honor that. As I've mentioned before, something to do, if you've got downtime, find somebody else to work with. Take the time, clean up your gym, clean up your area. Stay busy. When it comes to your schedule, always be 5 minutes early to all appointments. Now, I would say 5 minutes early to your first appointment. Your back-to-back appointments, you probably shouldn't be cutting a half-hour session short 5 minutes, but leave about a two-minute buffer so you can be able to set up for your next session. The beginning of your day, allow for 30 to 60 minutes of setting up, depending on the length of your day. If you've got a 12 to 16-hour day, you're probably going to need about an hour to organize all your thoughts, all your workouts, and get everything just set accordingly. Know exactly how you're going to have your day. Fail to plan, plan to fail. Always communicate with your clientele. When it comes to your 30-minute sessions, when they're purchasing those 30-minute sessions, make sure that they understand that's going to be 27 minutes of direct work. The other 3 minutes is going to be time that you can be able to debrief, tell them exactly what they went through, and set up for your next session. 60-minute session would probably be about 55 minutes long. You want that extra 5 minutes buffer, once again, to get prepared for your next session and, of course, to see your client and give them their marching orders, confirm the next appointment. Be straightforward. Be honest with your client. I can't tell you how many trainers, and I still see it today, that they are not communicating openly with their clients. So, for instance, I've got a peer of mine absolutely scared of confrontation, and this is bad. This really ruins credibility with her in her client's eyes. She's scared to let them know that she's leaving. And rather than tell her clients now and prepare them for that, she didn't say a word. So, of course, when they inadvertently found out that she was leaving, the clients are kind of feeling a little bit down, a little disappointed. Make sure you're communicating with your clients up front. And, of course, show tact when you do that. When I say tact, that means show a little bit of class. Be appropriate with how you share your information and your honesty with your clientele. Dress professional. Oh, my goodness gracious. I was at a gym in my local complex. Independent personal trainer, I can tell. She works with a good handful of ladies throughout the day. And she wears ripped jeans, a bedazzled ball cap, and a tank top that should probably be kept for her daughters, not so much her. There's zero professionalism in how she portrays herself. If you are to be the consummate fitness professional, dress like a class act. Hey, if you want to look like trash, dress like trash. But by all means, you better not be charging your clientele that much. $5 per hour? You got it. You go ahead and wear yourself some Daisy Dukes and a tore up white beater. Expect to be a successful and consummate fitness professional dress like that. A good athletic polo. Some comfortable pants would be something like, oh gosh, some running pants or some shorts. Avoid those short shorts. Keep it right around the knees if you can. Nobody wants to see your legs. Don't want to see your pasty whites. Stick to a common wear for branding. So try to keep your clothes the same every single time. Make sure they're clean. Make sure they're pressed. They're not just wrinkled. Have pit stains in them. The reason why you want to keep it common and the same is people will start to get programmed to seeing it, oh, there's that personal trainer, whether it's in your chain gym or your local complex or even in the park. They're going to start to pick out, oh, there's that personal trainer. They're going to recognize you as a specific brand. You're dressing professionally too. That's going to also stick out in their mind as, oh, man, that personal trainer really dresses nicely. People are always watching. So remember that you should conduct yourself as a professional. Now, I'm not trying to tell you to stand around like you've got a stick up your ass. But you got to conduct yourself in a way that's befitting of a professional. Leaning against equipment, that's a don't. Don't lean against things. Good Lord. You're just showing that you don't care about your session and that you're too lazy to stand up, hover over your clients. If they're on the ground doing crunches or bridges, get down on your knee and communicate with them. Now, you don't need to be up in their face like you're getting ready to make out with them, but get it to where you are positioning yourself appropriately with your clientele. Remember, people are watching. They see you hovering over top of them with your arms crossed, or you got your phone out in your hand and you're taking a look at your texts and things like that, or you're calling somebody during session. Oh, yeah, I've seen this before. Talking to someone on the phone during a session. Good Lord, I want to grab that phone and I want to throw it out the window. That is not professional. I would be horrified if I was at a restaurant and in the middle of taking an order, my server would go ahead and just answer their phone and start talking. I would flip that table and I would leave that place. Put your phone on silent. If you use it for business, make sure you state that to your clientele. But also remember, people are watching. They don't know if you're not texting. So be appropriate with how you are taking notes. Remember, you can be able to tell your client what you're doing, but people are watching. So I would suggest things like a tablet or an iPad. Then people have no doubt that you're taking notes. Either way, remember, people are always watching. Perception is always a subjective reality. So someone gets on a treadmill and they see you sitting at the desk. They don't know that you're probably answering emails or planning programs for the next 3 months. So remember, keep your time limited and a seated position. Sit down for maybe 5-10 minutes. Crank out a little bit of programming. Get up. Re-rack some weights. Talk to some people. Engage with people. And then move on. Always keep yourself moving. People are watching. Oh, this is a true story. Knew a trainer. He spent quite a bit of time at a desk. Wasn't the greatest trainer in the world. And at one point or another, as I'm racking up weights, I and another coworker, and look over at this gentleman. He's sitting down at the desk. He'd been there for a while. Overlooking the desks was a line of these desks up front of the gym, picture windows behind them. But overlooking that was the second floor where all the treadmills and the step mills and the ellipticals were overlooking these desks, all right? And as I'm getting ready to rack everything up, my coworker says, hey, look over there. Look over. This trainer that's sitting at the desk is knuckle deep, digging for gold. Oh, my Lord. I mean, knuckle deep. He's rooting around. He's trying to find something good up there. Thor. And I do not kid you when I say, pulls that hand away. He's playing with whatever he's got. And he puts his hands by his mouth. People are watching. Good Lord. All right? I'm not sitting here and judging the person for digging their nose. But first of all, the man sat at a desk for too long. He's rooting for boogers. He should be taking that somewhere else. People are watching. All right, you start doing cartwheels and screaming at people, throwing equipment. They're not going to want to work with you. All right? Unless you're a drill sergeant, you should not be screaming. At all, ever. Nobody gets it. Nobody understands it. It's not professional. If that's what you want to do, by all means, do it. Become the screaming trainer. But I'm going to tell you this right now. Not the consummate fitness professional. A few other things to kind of remember. Do's and don'ts. When your client's standing, stand. When your client's seated, make sure you get down to a kneeling position so you're eye to eye. Never lean on your equipment. Never check your phone. Avoid talking outside of your session. What I mean is you're going to find some distractions come through, and especially in some chain gyms, independent gyms as well, people are going to become familiar with you. Hey, how's it going? Great. I'll catch up with you later. People are going to respect the fact that you're working with your clientele. People are paying good money for your time. So you shouldn't be turning over to another person and talking about the recent Lakers game or your opinion on politics as your client's doing push-ups. Or they're working hard at doing some pull-ups or crunches, or they're in the middle of telling you a story. Stay within your session. This is their time. You got to make them feel special. They have to be the center of attention. Now, I'm going to be the first to tell you that I have violated this 1,001 different ways as a trainer. Personal information. Yes, you are a personal trainer. But remember, this session is about your client. I had a great person, actually, I worked with at one point. He was so good at this. Client would ask him about his personal life. He'd answer very briefly and redirect them back into the session. That right there is a sign of a good, true fitness professional. Me, I had a tendency, this is probably bad, that I would talk about me. Oh, good Lord, me. Let me tell you about me. Well, you know what? Start talking about me in your sessions, you really have lost sight of what it means to be a personal trainer. You aren't the center of attention. Your client is the center of attention. You should be focusing on everything that's about them. If you have 30 minutes, 60 minutes to work with that person, that is a very, very short time within their day. 1 out of 24 hours you get to spend with them in their day. Depending on the number of times per week or per month that you get to see this person. That is 1 hour out of hundreds to thousands of hours. You would be completely remiss if you took the subject away from them. there's never a lack of things to talk about with your client within a half hour to an hour time slot. You can talk about nutrition. You can talk about their goals. You can talk about their progress. You can talk about form, repetitions, programming, support, mindset, attitude, groups they can get involved in, experts that they can be able to learn from. There's never a lack of things to talk about with your clients about your clients, pertinent information about them and their goals. So always focus 100% on your clients. It never hurts to repeat yourself with clients. I had some clients that would say, you already told me that. And I always tell them, I actually know, but I want to make sure that you remember these things. Gym etiquette. Oh, my goodness. I can be able to write a whole book on it, and I'm sure one day I will. Recognize gym etiquette. Use better common sense than the rest of the people. One of the portions of gym etiquette, which means conducting yourself in a professional manner, is clean up during and after your session. I openly would communicate with clients that I would get them to clean up during their sessions, or I would clean up during their sessions as they continued work. As I said, 100% of your focus should be on your client. But every now and then, you could probably be able to take a couple dumbbells and put them right back up on the racks as they continue to work. That's about safety right there. Re-racking, picking up, cleaning up. Something spilled, clean it up, pass it off, or put a weight over top of it, hoping it will dry in the next 5 minutes. Clean up after yourself. That's another thing where you'll have 3 to 5 minutes downtime in between your sessions. That should be cleanup time. Pick up exercise mats. Put away steppers. Hang up jump ropes, rubber bands. Inspect equipment. Do this for everything, whether it's in your cleanup or during your sessions. Make sure the equipment is good. Even though you might have seen it 1,000 times, if you're using the cable equipment, it could be getting frayed. You want to make sure that's fixed. Never use beat-up equipment. Oh, good Lord, don't do that. When in doubt, throw it out. Or put an out-of-order sign on it. No one should get hurt. You've got a responsibility as a personal trainer and a fitness professional to know when something is not safe. If you won't use it, then chances are other people should not use it. So inspect all of your equipment. Know what you're using. If you're a mobile fitness trainer, you definitely should know what your equipment looks like and the condition that it's in. If it starts to fray or break, or looks questionable, toss it out. There are times where you need to be a cheapskate, and there's other times that you should not cut corners. When it comes to liability, broken equipment that you're aware of, you get sued. Guess what? You're in trouble. There's no bit of liability insurance that's going to cover you on that. Neglect is just absolutely unconscionable. Use discretion with body image issues. You're going to run into sometimes where, and this happens quite a bit, whether it's ladies or guys, they don't like to have measurements taken. You can try to really express to them the importance of it, but also respect where they are mentally. They may not be ready for you putting a tape measure around their body. Heavens, I even ran into a time where, actually it might have been a time or two, that I had some clients that would just break down crying because they did not want to put their foot on that scale. That's scary. It's a big victory for a person to be able to overcome that. Focus on the things that you can do within your sessions rather than what you can't do. Respect where that client's at and don't make it a battle. When you make it a battle, once again, you're taking the personal training, making it about you rather than about them. Be aware of where your client's at all times. I had a female client once, and she used to come in silky boxers that were very short and a pretty tight top. I think she knew exactly what she was showing off, and I always would try to get her to where she was positioned in a better way. So things like reverse crunches and deadlifts, I tried to get her towards the wall. Unfortunately, in instances like that, I think she knew what she was doing because she would ask why. Well, it's just positioning. Don't worry about it, is what she would tell me. But you're going to have some clients, especially the ladies, you're going to want to make sure that positioning is just so important. You don't want them showing off all their glory to everybody inside the gym. So be aware of that. Sometimes you can be able to position yourself in a way that you can be able to block prying eyes. As a trainer, you might get busy and you're going to probably get large groups at some point. Be considerate of other people in the space, whether it's in a park or in a gym or in a chain gym of some sort. I knew a trainer, man, he was so successful. He'd have a dozen people at a time. But here's the problem. Every single time that he would use an area, he would use the entire area and completely just push every single person out of the way with his gigantic group. Be mindful of that. Respect everybody's space. Respect your client's space, too. If you're a faith talker, this is not the business for you. Give your client a little bit of space. They can swing at you and hit you. You're probably too close. Well, folks, starting to wrap up things here, part five of the Consummate Fitness Professional. There's so many more things that I can be able to share for do's and don'ts. A lot of these things have been some random thoughts off the top of my head. I'm sure I'll probably come up with other things, or maybe you can even think of some things that you've seen. There's so much to making a consummate fitness professional, but I certainly hope that you found value in some of the information that I've shared with you. It's one thing to learn from someone who has been experienced and had success in their line of work, but it's even more important that you actually apply it. I encourage you to do that. It could be a good, rewarding career if you take the right steps. Don't be afraid. Get out there. Do it. Become better than the best. Because you can really make a change in this world when you become the consummate fitness professional. Thank you.